and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
One of those foremost people who has who's made an impact in your life. Can you think of somebody like that? Yeah? Yeah? Grandparents? Nice. Yeah. For me, Rick, are you okay over there? Okay. We've had the worst luck with like pressing the record button on the video, so Rick's assuring us that that's going. For me, one of those teachers was a teacher that I had in seminary. He was my youth ministry professor. His name is Stephen Gallagher, and he was fantastic. He is fantastic. He was, you know, this authentic man who just exuded joy and authenticity. We had classroom material and things like that, but that was kind of secondary to everything else. He's the guy that I've adopted, or I've learned that there are some times where I'll channel him in the situations where, you know, if I'm going out or if I have a meeting with some young people, I'll say, "You pick the place, I'll pay for it," because that's what Stephen used to do for us in seminary. He said, "You pick and drive, I'll pay for it," which was great, right? Like, what's better than that? There are other times where he said, he believed in a theology of heavy use but not abuse, so that when I put holes in the walls of the church by accident, I would say, "Oh, that was a case of heavy use, but it wasn't abuse," right? Which has then done me well coming to Faith Point, where we use our stuff heavily, but we don't abuse it, but there's just stuff that happens, there's breakage that happens, there's whatever, you know, and so that mentality has carried me through. He's the same guy that I was supposed to have lunch with down in the dining hall of the seminary, and it just so happened I had forgotten that, and so I had turned the clocks forward about 40 minutes or so when he wasn't in the room. So we got out way early, and the dining hall wasn't open yet. He's like, "Why isn't it open?" And it was really embarrassing to be like, "I don't know, somebody turned the clocks forward. I don't know who did that," but that was, and he took it in such good stride. You know, like, those are the types of people who shape us depending on, you know, that relationship is there. But then if we go outside of that, for me, it's my parents, it's my grandparents, it's my daughters that are teaching me things every single day, right? And so one of those things, the answers, a couple of them that I got this week about finishing that statement of great teachers blank are, you know, great teachers make a difference. They care more about their students than themselves in the classroom. They love to teach. They make school fun. They create great students, right? They help us ask good questions. They help you realize your potential. They share the joy of learning, nurturing an insatiable desire to explore, discover, grow, and teach. That was a good one. That was from one of our Faith Point Online folks that said that. You know, but is there anything else that you would add about what great teachers do? A lot of our teachers then that chimed into those also said, great teachers need a vacation. Great teachers are tired. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, there are some others, like, they need to get paid more because they don't do just the, you know, classroom teaching and things like that. And so today, we continue on with this Holy Spirit series that we started last week talking about kind of the relationship between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that thing that we call the Trinity. We talk about the way that then we are enfolded into God's action and movement in the world because of this thing that we call the Trinity. We looked at the way in which Jesus was baptized, and we see all three kind of pieces at work as the Father, Son, and Spirit come into play, and use that language of the Spirit then rested on Jesus. And then we see that same type of language in the day of Pentecost when the church then receives the church. And it says, and then like tongues of fire resting on the believers, all of the believers that were gathered in that place. And so we recognize that, you know, because Christ is not here, he has been resurrected, we know Christ in a different way now, but that Spirit doesn't just go up with Jesus, but rather now it rests on the body of Christ, that is the church. And so as we come to this, Tim Keller said this about the Holy Spirit. It says, He writes, many people say that the Holy Spirit gives us power, and that is true. But how does he do that? He doesn't merely zap us with a higher level of energy, no, but calls him another advocate or helper. Jesus has been given to clue us in as to understanding how we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. The first advocate, Jesus, is speaking to God for you. But the second advocate, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you and for you. The Holy Spirit becomes this teacher in the most full sense of the word. And so today we're going to explore kind of three different ways that the Spirit then allows us to understand how it is a teacher in our lives, speaking to us, for us, and enfolding us back into that relationship with the Trinity, allowing us to be participants of the bringing about of the kingdom of God, not just folks that sit on the sidelines and wait for God to come again, but rather we are active in the bringing about of the kingdom. And so this first way is that the Spirit comes in and it gives us these ideas. So if we think about the way in which, you know, we have these ideas that would pull us away from God, we call that temptation, right? And then on the other side of that is inspiration. And so the Spirit inspires us. When you have an idea kind of culminating from the Holy Spirit, we call that inspiration. And these two kind of have this wonderful balance. And so the scripture behind me from Joel, I love, because it says, after that, so this is good Old Testament Hebrew Bible stuff, after that I will pour my Spirit upon who? Upon everyone. Yeah. Nice. And does it discriminate against age or anything else? Nope. It says, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. Isn't that pretty cool? Like, if you just let the weight of that fall into place, that when God's Spirit rests upon you, you will be inspired and have these God-sized dreams that are bigger than anything else you would have ever imagined. Man. There's this vision of a better way, of a new world, of something that is happening that is bigger than who you are or what you are doing right now. This also, I like this passage also, because it also kind of reminds us back to the Spirit's action and movement in the Hebrew Bible for the people of God too. It's not just this kind of New Testament thing, but it's throughout Scripture, God is guiding and moving and teaching us along the way. And so we all have this kind of big God-shaped vision or this audacious goal that God might have in store for us. And with that out there, then it allows our minds to be reshaped. It allows us to see the world in a different way. All of a sudden, if my vision is based on my inspiration that I have rather than the temptation that I go for or that I kind of settle for, If I go for the great, it changes my perspective, it changes my worldview, it allows me to shift my focus and my gaze to the things that matter most. This, again, is what Wesley would say, is that process of sanctification, of saying, if I am inspired by this, I'm going to settle for nothing less than this God-shaped vision for my life, and I'm going to be made perfect in love, as Wesley would say. And, you know, one of those kind of inspirations that happened 15 years ago was this idea of a church coming to Urbana, Maryland, where you could throw a rock and hit three other United Methodist churches, not to mention other churches around the area, where Matt Poole said, you know what, I think this would be a great place to start a church. And Faith Point was born out of house meetings and these little, you know, kind of cell groups that then culminated, and we have been moved around, but that was an inspiration of the Spirit, because if you just looked at a map, and I did some of this work for our missions team this week, as you look at all these little pins of the churches around this area, and it is a disaster of how many churches there are right here and within a 3-mile radius. But yet, time and time again, there was this vision, there was this inspiration that Faith Point would be a little bit different. Faith Point would be a place where people could come if they've been hurt by church or haven't had a church home. It'll be some place where you don't have to put on that mask of being something that you are not, but it's real people living real lives, encountering a real and life-changing faith in Christ. And so 15 years later, we've been at different sites, we've moved around, and the mentality and the DNA is still there of that Spirit's inspiration, so that we can take what we do here, and it's not just a Sunday thing, but we can take it to the park, We can take it online on Saturdays, and now Wednesday nights. We have an online worship service as well that we just launched a few weeks ago, and we can do that because we know that that same Spirit pervades and inspires all along and through because of this 15-year-old vision, more than that, really, of the conception of that, of going, God might be moving in a new way, even in this place that is growing, but people aren't really going to church more. And that's how Faith Point kind of started to blossom and bloom. But it doesn't leave us there, right? That scripture about you know, not being orphaned and things like that is really true. So we have this God-shaped vision. We have this God-sized dream. But then what do you do with it? And that's where the Spirit then comes to instruct us. We're not just made to create these dreams, but rather just like the ending of that story that Chloe read for us, you know, the very last verse says, get up. We're leaving this place. There is this vision of what is to come, but there is this grounding in reality. God's really great at doing that. It's not an either or. Either I can work grassroots here right now, or I can work for the Spirit or for the kingdom that is to come. It's this both and that the Spirit enables us and enlivens us for. And so we are able to see this in that James passage behind me right there. James passage, right? Perfect. There we go. But if anyone who needs wisdom should ask for it, ask God, whose very nature is to give to everyone without a second thought, without keeping score, wisdom will certainly be given to those who ask. We're not called to be these kind of, you know, knowledge, I don't know, like these people who just store up knowledge, right? We're not to be the smartest person on the block. Maybe you're great at trivia nights, but there's more to life than scoring well for your trivia team. But we are called to then do something with that. We are to put into practice that knowledge and that prompting of the Spirit that allows us to live out that wisdom and make a practical difference, to allow that to pervade us so that we can love God better and change lives through loving our neighbor. We are able to do that because we are willing then to let God work and move in our hearts. So one of those things that I like about that James passage is that it says, you know, if you lack wisdom, you need to ask. But the posturing of that isn't just that God is going to pour into you, but that asking then says, you know, kind of changes the mentality or changes your posture from, God, I know it all, so you don't need to tell me, right? We all have people in our lives that are like that, right? They know everything. It's not you. You are humble. You are ready to learn. You are always open and ready to receive. But some people, and there's a lot of people looking at one another right now, which is super weird, but I'm not going to judge. You know, it says, go to God and ask. But that means that we have a teachable heart. That's not like us when we read that Pharaoh's heart was hardened, right? We don't have these hard hearts, but we have this teachable spirit that God then can do something with. It means that we put our pride aside and allow God and God's Spirit to work and teach and instruct because we recognize that as disciples, we are lifelong learners. And so, you know, one of those ways that I guess Duke's basketball coach, Coach K, said this is that the greatest threat to the future success is current success. God, why? I mean, what's more for me to learn? I mean, I'm pretty awesome at this. You know, sometimes we have to sacrifice the good for the great. And that's what the Spirit does when it gets into our lives and instructs. But it doesn't mean that it's always going to be easy. It doesn't mean that taking that next step, getting to that next level, you know, performing at that higher level isn't going to be easy or natural or anything else, that it's going to be hard. But then there's this third piece of the Spirit, this third piece that pulls us back into God's fullness and reminds us of God's word. It's this way in which we are reminded of God's faithfulness throughout time and that God is always there with us. It's that passage that Chloe read for us. The companion, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Now, one of those ways to refer to Jesus is the Word made flesh, right? And so the Spirit comes and points us back not only to the Bible that we have and to the scriptures that we have and to the generations of God's faithfulness and the ways in which when we say, God, I know that you're instructing, I have this vision, I've taken these next steps, but now I am faced with a wall. And he says, I have a story about that. It wasn't about how folks broke down a wall through their sheer might, but I asked them just to have some praise music around the outsides and blow some horns, and then all of a sudden those walls came tumbling down. God, I don't know. It seems like there are some oceans between me and that goal, and there is anxiety about the time that is coming, or there is something that is coming that is going to squash that goal. And he's like, I know. I have a story about that. About my people going up to the sea, and there was trouble coming from behind, and I said that I would be faithful, and so Moses raised his staff, and there was a part in the water. You see, the Spirit reminds us of the way that God has been faithful throughout history, so that we are courageous enough to say, I'm going to take that next hard step, even when it's really difficult. Even when we don't know where our foot's going to fall next. Because it says, you know, that the Spirit's going to remind us of everything that God has shown us or taught us through the Word, but not just then Scripture, but through those actions of that living Word that continues to be, and that Jesus says, I'm going to be your advocate. I'm going to be the one who is the one that is going before you, and I promise, remember, you will not be orphaned. No matter what happens, regardless of what has passed, let me remind you of what I said. And that's one of the scriptures that we typically read at funerals, that, right, I'm going before you. I'm making a place before you. I'm going to set a room and a place before you. So the Spirit moves us back into that. Not only have I hemmed you in from the back and reminding you of history, but I'm going to remind you of the future and the hope that no matter where you've been, or your current circumstances, or your anxieties about the future, I've got this, and we've got this together. And so, you know, one of those things that we prayed earlier on is this reminder that the worst thing is never the last thing, that we won't be abandoned, that even faith the size of a mustard seed could throw a mountain into the sea. And it's this reminder that empowers us to go on. It's this reminder that then allows us to pray this bold prayer like we prayed at the beginning of the service. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let me invite you in. Let my heart be welcoming to you. Let me have this God-sized vision, each and every one of us. But then instruct me on the ways that I might make that a reality. You know, setting aside those temptations, so that I might be reminded of the person who I have been made to be, fearfully and wonderfully in your image, God. And so this week, as we look at the ways that the Spirit inspires, maybe a question is, what is your God-shaped dream? What is your God-sized dream? What does God have in store for you? When we think about the way that the Spirit instructs, where is God growing your heart? Where are you resistant to learning what God might have in store for you? That you think, God, I don't need any more help. I've got this in this area locked down perfectly. But then the final piece, then the final question is, you know, where do you need to be reminded that God's got this in your life? Where's that anxiety? And where do you need to then settle into the fact that you can trust in what God has in store for you today? Let's go to God in prayer. Wonder-working God, today we come giving you thanks for your Spirit who empowers, enlivens, and supports us in whatever we do, God. We're reminded of that wonderful teacher of the Spirit, that the relationship there is something that is a blessing, that is a gift, that we have been inspired by that God-shaped vision that you have for each and every one of us, and that we might learn from and be reminded of the way that you have been faithful to your people throughout the millennia. We give you thanks for this and for all of those who are close to us, God, who help us on this journey of faith. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.